I tell you what, if we didn't have anything here but singing, I'd come. Wouldn't y'all? If there wasn't nothing else went on, I'd just come for the singing. I was thinking about that earlier, how blessed we are to have the musicians and the singers and the talent we've got and the choir singing. You know what I like about our choir singing? They know what they're singing about. Now, that's when it gets real, when you know what you're singing about. You know about that power of God, and you know about that Holy Spirit that He's given us a gift to have here at New Salem Baptist Church. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the house of God. I've come to praise and worship. I'm going to share with you a little bit of Scripture. I hope that you've come to praise and worship an Almighty God. I'm telling you, He's done something for you. If nothing else, He got you here this morning safe and sound, right? Got you up and got you ready and got you here on time. And so, good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, as a pastor, I have a lot of responsibilities. I sit and think through this sometimes. But the greatest responsibility that God has blessed me with in this ministry at New Salem Baptist Church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ that souls may be saved. That's the only thing I can offer you that lasts for eternity. You know, now I might give you some advice that might be good tomorrow, might be good for a week or two, but sooner or later that advice will grow stale or go wrong. But God is the only one that if you'll get it from Him, it's good forever. So we're going to talk about salvation. You know, the greatest day I ever had in life was when I got saved. You know, I've heard people say, well, I've had this good day and I've had it. The greatest day I ever had was when I got saved because God came into my life and made a difference and made a change. And it's been wonderful ever since. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, say there's been some ups and downs, and there have been a few problems along the way, but God didn't promise a perfect life, but He did promise eternal life. And so, when we go into this Scripture today, I want you to just consider the greatest thing you could do would be accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's God's plan and God's will for your life. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture today. In Matthew chapter 19. Y'all turn there with me. First of all, we're going to start out about the children. Now, I've looked around here. I'm telling you, there's babies in nearly every arm in this church. If you ain't got one, it may be on the way. I don't know. And isn't that a wonderful, thankful thing, you know? And some of them back in the back, and then they're up here. I saw some frowns on some faces, you know? Amen. But you get looking around, and let's talk about children just for a few minutes. And I want you to see them in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Now, when you start looking through the eyes of God or the eyes of Christ, you see things a little bit different, you know. I want to make a statement first off that children are not an inconvenience. They're a blessing from God. And that's just the way it is. You know, a lot of people, I saw people get all upset. You know, a baby whine over here, you know. And they're all sitting there so quiet, you know, and a baby whine, and it disturbs somebody. It don't disturb me. That shows life in the church. And if I can't out-preach them, I'll get a bigger microphone. So let's look what Jesus said about the children. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. And there were brought unto Him little children that He should put His hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And He laid His hands on them and departed them. And I got thinking about God's touch, the Lord Jesus' touch on these children, that they brought the children down and some of the disciples rebuked them and said, don't bring them around, don't bother Him. But I want you to see the importance of the young people in the eyes of Christ. He looked there and He said, oh no. He said, but of such is the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven. And I got thinking about how He compared the little children to heaven and a wonderful place, a wonderful experience, a wonderful time. And He took the time and said He laid His hands on them. And I got thinking, you know, Hebrews 13:8 said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thought about how Jesus today in this very service could lay His hands on these children again today. Isn't it good to know we're in the crowd with the ones that Jesus is touching? His hands are for the children. And so I'm thankful that we've got the children here that we have. I tell you what, isn't it a wonderful thing? A lot of people is out trying to get a congregation. We're just going to grow one. Don't drink the water here. Yeah, don't drink the water. Something in it. But anyway, I am proud of them. Let's go just a little bit farther, and I want to talk about salvation and the importance of it and how God has blessed us with it. It's a gift from God. You know, very plain, it's a gift from God. I know a lot of people try to say, well, I try to do this and I try to do that, but it's a gift of God. So let's look into that a little bit farther in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And the question's asked to Jesus, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And I got thinking about this man coming, and he wanted to buy salvation from God with something he could do or something he could give or something he might accomplish in life. And this is a common knowledge and a common thing. You know, I grew up, my daddy always told me, well, you don't get something for nothing. How many of you ever heard that? You don't get something for nothing. Well, let me tell you, that's a lie. You can get salvation for nothing. We don't have to do anything except believe. Now, that's what it takes, that we believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, you know, I heard it all my life. You just don't get something for nothing. But God is different than man. You may not get something from man for nothing, but God will give you eternal life. And all you got to do is believe His plan of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding His blood for a lost and dying world, and then you can have the promise of eternal life. This young man came down and said, Good master, you know, he recognized Jesus and tried to recognize Him for who He was. He said, What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? If you've come in today trying to work out your salvation, you've got a hard job that won't work. It's a gift of God. In verse 17, and he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So, he's going to refer him back to the commandments of God. Now, notice this. He said, Honor, he said unto him, which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father, thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what he did was gave him a list of things that we cannot complete. It's beyond us. We're too human. We're too physical. You know, we got an earthly mother. And I got thinking about this young man must have been thinking, well, you know, wait a minute. I've done all these, but yet I lack something. Now, Jesus is telling, you know, if this was possible, but it says we have an impossibility of that. I'm thankful to God that He saved me by grace. Because now, as far as keeping all these things, I hadn't killed anybody. Okay. It said, don't commit adultery. Okay, I can say okay on that one. And do not steal. I remember we used to go steal watermelons. I never was a big-time thief, but I've stole, and that condemned me to hell. But Jesus, by His love and His grace on the cross of Calvary, forgave me of that. And it goes, Father, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if nothing else got you, this one right here at the bottom is pretty hard about loving your neighbor as yourself. I love myself pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, I feed myself every day. I don't go and feed my neighbor, do y'all? Well, don't you love yourself pretty good? Amen. You know, if not, we got problems. You know, I've hated what I was at times, but I still love myself. You know, when you're out of the will of God, I hated what I was, but I still love myself. And so we run into this situation about God had to make a plan. He knew we couldn't earn our salvation. We couldn't work out our salvation. He said, I'll just give it to Him. Now you think about a God that loved you that much. You think about a heavenly Father sitting up there and said, I love them enough so they can't earn it. They can't buy it. So I'll just give it to them. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That's the kind of God we serve, that He said, I'm going to give them salvation. I'm going to let my son pay the price for their sins. They're not even going to have to pay for their own sins. I'm going to forgive them. It goes down, Father, and the young man said unto him, All these things I've kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And so he knew there was still something lacking in his life. And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, indication, he's saying, and looking at this young man, he knew, Jesus knew his heart, Jesus knew his mind, he knew he loved the things of the world more than he did God. Now, that's what Jesus wouldn't do. He said, just go sell all you have. Well, Jesus didn't care if he had this or that, as long as he don't put it before God. But he could tell by this young man's mind that he'd rather have his earthly possession than the promise in heaven. Now, I want to preach to you. If you want earthly possessions, you go right ahead and get them. But don't let it get in your way of getting that promise of heaven that lasts for eternity. And so this young man come down the point. In verse 22, he said, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. It meant more to him to have possessions of the world than it did possessions and promises of heaven. Now, that's where we come to in life so many times. That's what hinders so many people from coming to Jesus Christ, because they can't love God more than they love the things of the world. Jim and myself last night, we were at the all game dinner, and they were giving away this gold plated Henry rifle. Lever action. Pretty, wasn't it, Jim? What caught my eye when he lifted it up? Jim said he wished he'd won it. I wish I'd won it. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. I wanted the gun. But neither one of us won it. That's side the point. But I got thinking about the things that we want and the things that we would possess. But I wouldn't swap my soul for it with you, Jim. I love God more than I did it. It was bright and shiny. You know, the devil put stuff out there. He don't put ugly stuff. Y'all ever notice that? You know, if there's something going to hinder you and come between you and God, he don't use something ugly. He uses the best and the prettiest that the devil will that's available. He'll make that gun shinier, or he'll put another coat of paint on that old car, or whatever it might be that comes between you. Now, this is where this young man found himself at. He said he was very sorrowful, for he had great possession. He didn't want to give up what he had. The day I got saved, the only thing I had to give up was my sinful way. He didn't take one possession away. Actually, he added some. Had the best crop we ever had in our lives that year. He added. But I had to be willing to give it up. I was willing. That day I was searching for Christ, I'd have gave anything I had, because I didn't want to burn in hell. And that was my heart and life, that I was going to burn in hell, because I was without a Savior. I was beyond God's plan for salvation. In verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciple, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that to us would look like impossibility. I'm sure his disciples standing there, they're humans just like we were. They didn't have the mind of God just like Jesus. So they're looking there, and when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and say, who then can be saved? And here's the question, who then can be saved? And verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Thank God, hallelujah, that with God all things are possible. With men it's an impossibility for you to be saved. I can't save you. Your neighbor can't save you. Your mama, your daddy can't save you. But with God all things are possible. Praise the Lord. That's the only way I got in. You know it? Because I don't know anybody that loved me enough that would have saved my soul except God. Oh, I thought I had some pretty good buddies and friends. I had a family, but I don't know if it come down the point and they said, okay, will you swap your life for mine? I believe I'd been on the outs. Got a brother sitting back here, love him to death, but would you give your life for mine? Probably not. He's smiling, but he didn't answer, did he? He's smiling, but he didn't answer. And we're all the same way. You know, that's where we fall short when he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm not going to give my life for the neighbor. Does that shock anybody? That you hear that actually voiced? That you actually hear it spoken? You know, I'm glad God sent Jesus. I'm glad he sent Jesus, because I don't know anybody else that would have bailed me out. or that even could bail me out. But with God, all things are possible. I want to look over a little bit farther in 1 Corinthians. You turn over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's talk about how we are redeemed. You know, let's talk about what God did that we have this eternal life that I'm talking about, that I wish everybody had. You know, it tells us that all are not going to be saved, but it's our responsibility that we share the gospel of Christ, and the ones God brings, if they'll accept it, can be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I claim that for my ministry, and I claim that verse for me being a preacher of the gospel, because I don't always have really great words, or I don't always have great wisdom, you know, but I know Jesus, and I've been with Jesus, and I think that's where the difference is. And I claim this verse, you know, to kind of bail me out sometimes when I get the feeling when the devil starts picking on me and he says, you ain't nothing. What? You ain't nothing. Or when I go out in the community and the devil moves somebody, you know, I go up speaking with them and all this, and like one man over at the store told me, he said, if you're a preacher, the woods is full of them. You know, the devil puts those people in my life all the time. Y'all don't get none of that. Fill a pulpit a short time. Walk out here in the community and say, I represent Jesus Christ. I represent the power of God. And then see how they talk about you. Huh? Well, I'm serious. You know, I get that quite a bit. The devil puts people in my life all the time that try to belittle or take away. And I just claim this verse. Well, I'm not too good at speaking. I'm not real smart, but God called me. And I'm His servant. And I'm going to heaven. I don't care what these people say. Maybe the woods may be full of preachers. I don't know. Y'all ever heard that before? Huh? That's a new one on me. I mean, I've heard it. I thought in 28 years I'd heard them all. But, you know, that's a new one on me. I thought, well, okay, devil, you ain't laid down sleeping. But anyway, he said he didn't come in excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. In verse 2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it talks about Peter. You know, and when he began to stand up and preach and speak in everybody's language that they understood, and it said they perceived that he was unlearned and ignorant, but they took note that he had been with Jesus. Now that's in Acts chapter 2. And I got thinking about that. As long as they'll take note that I've been with Jesus, that's what matters. That's what it's all about. You know, it don't matter what they say. They don't matter what they think. They just have their own opinion. Everybody's got one, most everybody. And anyway, as long as they know we've been with Jesus. In verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Now, I'd rather have preaching under the Spirit and power of God than the best speaker that's ever stepped up. I'd rather have it because it's got more power. It's got more authority. Paul standing here and said, I didn't do this on my own will, but said I did it in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. And that's what I pray every time I step in the pulpit. God, you just power it by the Holy Spirit that it make a difference in somebody's life. That somebody hear the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. And I'm glad I'm included. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And so it's not about men and what they know or what they do or what they say. It's about God. Just as we've come in here this morning, it's about God and His Word and His power through the Holy Ghost of God that we know and understand, and it's revealed to us the need for salvation in our life. I hope everybody here is going to heaven. I'd like to get up there one day and take a roll call and everybody answer, hey. Wouldn't that be wonderful? All your friends, all you know, that when a roll call comes in heaven, that they can stand up and answer, here. Praise the Lord, here. Be like them winning that rifle up there last night, Jim. It didn't take them long to jump their feet and say, hey, I'm here. You know, they're calling out names and numbers. And the guys that won that, he wasn't no hesitation to that. He jumped to his feet and said, whoo, it's me. And the guy that won the four-wheeler is too old. He couldn't get up. But he had both hands in the air, praise the Lord. You know, he couldn't get to his feet. He'd come in on a walker. But I believe it was fair. I don't believe it's rigged. And I believe God meant for him to have that four-wheeler. He sold it before he got out of the building. Well, but who's to say the old man didn't need the money? It might have been a bill he needed to pay. It might have been a doctor bill that he had coming up, and God said, I'll handle it this way. We don't know how God handles all our situations. Sometimes it seems like he might go round about, but there's reasons for this. I didn't have any problem with that if he wants to sell it before we got out of the building. Justin, did he sell it? Did you hear? We was walking by him, you know, and the guy standing there making the offer. Did he sell it? And that might have been the doctor's bill. That might have been his mortgage payment. We don't know, but God handles these things in our life. Sometimes we're not even aware, and God's already worked it out. You know, you'll have a problem, and God's already took care of. That's the God we serve. This is the one I'm talking about that speaks to us in wisdom. One more quick scripture, and I'll get down from here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about the promise of eternal life. We're talking about when the roll's called in heaven, you jump to your feet and holler, here, here. Here I am. Praise God. Made it by the blood. Came through grace. Because God loved us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. So we're talking about redeemed. Redeemed. And it's very plain right here. It says, not with corruptible things as silver and gold. God didn't pay for you with silver or gold or any riches that we know in this world. He paid for you with the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, shed on the cross of Calvary. Now, silver will lose its value. Gold one day will lose its value. You think gold is going to be good forever? When you get to heaven, it says the streets are paved with it. That sounds like dirt to me, don't it? Or asphalt. How much is a piece of asphalt worth today or a hunk of dirt? And so we get thinking about these valuable things, but the blood of Christ will never lose its value. It's worth just as much today as it ever was. And it'll be worth as much from now on. And I got thinking about how much was that blood worth the day it saved me. It's precious that day, ain't it? Today it saves you when it's applied to your life. When it covers your sins. I couldn't help thinking that day, the whole day that I got saved. I got saved in a potato field over at Miss White's property we had rented. It wasn't even our ground. It wasn't even our land. We rented it. But I got saved right there, and I got thinking, how much was that blood worth that day? You know, my thought was, I knew Scripture enough to know about the blood of Jesus. And I knew when I received Him as my Savior, it was applied to my life and my sins were covered. I just confessed. I just asked God to forgive me. And then He covered it with blood. And I got thinking that day that when God looked down on me, He didn't see nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus looking down. You know, He said, well, there's the blood applied. And it's a wonderful thought. It goes a little farther. In verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Why was he manifest? For you. I want everybody to understand that. God manifested his Son, Jesus Christ. He was there before the foundation of the world. This plan was already in effect. But then he manifested him in the last time for you. For you. Now take that individual. For you. This is what God did. It said, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have hope in God? Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfreighted love of the brother, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I love that uncorruptible seed. In other words, that's good seed. It's not going to spoil. It's not going to rot. It's going to bloom one day. You know, people used to put their seed up from year to year. They save seed. Luther saved seed. I've been over there. He saved seed from year to year. You have to be careful with it. It might spoil mine. If it spoils, nothing will come up the next year. Well, this incorruptible seed that God sowed in me is going to come up. I'm telling you, this old seed's going to bloom one day. I ain't much yet, but God's still working on me. He ain't give up. And God's still working on me. Still a working promise. But through that day, when this seed is planted, and it'll be raised, uncorruptible, forever. That's the hope I have for everybody in this building today. That's the hope I have for all your loved ones and all your friends and all your relatives, that they have that seed planted that's going to come again one day in a resurrection. That's when I'm coming up. I hope y'all are there with me in the resurrection. Just wait and see me. I'm going to be pretty. Tommy's going to have hair. Or not. I don't know about that. In the likeness of Jesus. Did Jesus have hair? I believe it was the most beautiful thing we can ever see. And I hope you have that seed planted today. And if you don't, God can plant it. Right here. I believe the Spirit and power of God's here with us today. I believe that drawing power. You know, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. That drawing power is present with us today, that if you're not saved, you could be. That's what we're about today, seeing a soul saved. Salvation come. Let's sing a verse of song. Y'all stand your feet. Give everybody an opportunity. If you want to come down and pray, just come on down and pray. God could take care of whatever need you have. There's no doubt in my mind that we serve a powerful, wonderful God. You got a need, God can handle it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You may be standing back there thinking of some other situation, and you think that's an impossibility. It's just impossible. With God, nothing's impossible. Bring it up to the Lord. Share it with Him. See what happens.